A strong boy. A diligent lad worked at a laboratory. The lab largely produced laser instruments. The lad's job largely was to label the laser instruments. He liked his job at large and worked hard. He did not even rest on Labor Day. In his mind, hard work was a ladder to success. One evening, as usual, the lad turned off the lamps in the ladies' room and men's room. Then he laced up his shoes and went home. He lived in an inn. It was a nice inn, except for the cold landlady and the boring landlord there. The landlady always wore a dress with delicate lace. The lad carried a lantern because the lane he took was dark. On the way, he heard something. He looked back, then found a lamb. The lamb was lame in its lap. It seemed to lack good care. The lad did not know the animal's language, but he touched it softly. At last the lad decided to adopt it, even though he adopted a lark lately. The lamb followed him. It lagged behind because of its lame lap. So from time to time, the lad waited for it to catch up with him. The landlady and the landlord would return by plane that night. Fortunately, the plane's landing was delayed because of fog. Thus the lad could hide the lamb in time.
The successful change of profession. Mr. Dawson used to be a Latin teacher and live on an island 30 degrees north latitude. Once he found his latent abilities, he left the island by ship. The ship launched on a nice day. Mr. Dawson and his wife moved into a new apartment. The wife employed a company to lay out the apartment. The company changed the layout completely. Later, Mr. Dawson became a lawyer. Recently, he worried about a case of lead poisoning. There were several layers of inside stories in this case. Mrs. Dawson laid the baby down quietly and said to her husband, "Why don't you lay off for a while until your mind is fresher? Let's have tea on the lawn." The latter agreed with her. He laid that case aside. Then he went to the laboratory to wash his face. To relax himself, Mr. Dawson began to laugh, and his laughter could even be heard in the next room. After that, he laid down a plan of action. He took a leaf out of the notebook to write it down. First of all, Mr. Dawson laid off one of his assistants because he was a hidden spy. Then he distributed leaflets to the other assistants to explain the action program. Under Mr. Dawson's leadership, the team worked well. He played a leading role. The day before the trial, Mr. Dawson sent his best suit to the laundry. The laundry came back the next morning. Mr. Dawson walked into the court from a lateral door. He was very confident.
A funny professor. When Mr. Mill was young, his purpose in learning was to be a teacher. Now he was a learned professor. That morning, Mr. Mill had lean pork and lemon tea as breakfast. Then he put on his leather gloves to go to the classroom. The classroom was 25 feet in length and 20 feet in width. He would have a legal lecture this time. Until then, did Mr. Mill realize that he had left his textbook behind in the office? But he did not seem to be in the least nervous. He leaned on the chair and began his lecture at leisure. He explained the legal rights of the people at length. Nothing was left out. The topic lent itself to discussion. After discussion, the students came to understand at length. Before the class was over, Mr. Mill asked the students if they were at leisure these days. He suggested that they read at least one book on the legal rights. A student noticed Mr. Mill's left leg was lame. Mr. Mill answered, "I am a member of the school football league. In my last match, I tried to leap a linebacker. I wanted to create a legend, but I hurt my leg. Please don't leak the news. You are in league with me, okay? Your leakage will damage my reputation." Mr. Mill made a face. All the students laughed.
A liberal librarian. A liberal librarian should be liable for the library's safety. Mr. Hall was a high-level qualified librarian. He had his license for 10 years. The days started to lengthen in March. Mr. Hall spent more time in the library. After work, he used lens to make telescopes. One afternoon, he heard some steps. He followed, then found no less than 3 books were stolen. Mr. Hall moved a lever to close the door first. Then he chased the thief, frightening him at the same time. "Stop, or I will let off the gun!" He caught the thief with a cord, but was surprised to find it was a boy. The boy cried, "Let go of my hand!" Mr. Hall let out the cord to let the boy loose. The boy let down his fist. His fear had already lessened. Mr. Hall let the boy in his office. The boy spoke in whispers lest Mr. Hall would blame him. He said he had not enough money for food, let alone books. Mr. Hall let out a sigh. He had a liberal mind. Compared with stealing money, stealing books was the lesser evil. He said to the boy, "If you are a liar, you will let me down. Everyone is liable to err when he is poor. I let you off this time. You hold no liability of damages." Mr. Hall liberated the boy from fear. The boy gained his liberty. To his surprise, the liberal librarian even gave him some money. The boy left with grateful tears.
Man's Best Friend. Diana was a chemical teacher. She taught her students something like lime could be obtained by burning limestone. One night she saw a dog lie under a tree when she was passing by. It was too weak to lift its limp paws. It was likely to be hurt by the fallen limb. Diana knew her limitations. In the light of her mother's comments, her love had no limit. In fact, there was much likeness between her mother and her. Diana held the dog in her arms. The dog licked her hand. Its head touched her shoulder lightly. Diana went to a hospital. Only a limited number of hospitals were available to animals. A full moon lightened their path to the hospital. The doctor said the problem lied in its forelimb and it would not die. Diana's heart lightened when she heard it. 2 weeks later, the dog could walk with a limp. One day, there was some likelihood of rain. In a lift, Diana met a man who asked her if she had a cigarette lighter. The man approached her, and suddenly he took out a dagger. "Give me your purse." Just then, the dog jumped at a lightning speed. It bit his wrist. The man cried and rushed out of the lift. Diana would remember this during her lifetime. The dog cast light on her of its love. The dog never lied, and it even saved her from danger. When they returned home to reward the dog, Diana lifted the lid of the pot and took out a big bone for him.
Inspiration from liquor. A literary man lived on writing. His pen name was Lion. The readers felt a little difficulty to understand his literature literally. His language was living and changing all the time, but little by little they were in line with his opinion. Lion lived up to what readers expected of him. Before he wrote a new novel, he listed all the things he had to do. Liquor was the most important thing. He thought there was a link between drinking liquor and writing literature. Liquor was a kind of liquid food to him and made his mind lively. He loved the feeling from the liquor licked his lips. Lion lingered round the bar all night. During the past 10 years, he gained quite a little knowledge about liquor. About his health, the doctor said it was just a touch of liver ailment. He still drank 1 liter of liquor every morning. After that, he put on a shirt made of linen. Next, he began to write in the living room. It would last a long time until he finished the novel. Then he would take an airliner to another city for travel. In the airport, the passengers lined up in an one formation. Once Lion even saw several birds fly in line when he was in an airplane.
A Father's Love. 3 years ago, Mr. Nelson went to another town that was at longitude 24 degrees east. It was a good location to earn some money. Having looked into the file, Mr. Nelson was accepted to be a locomotive engineer in the local railway station. Every day, after other workers finished loading up logs, he began to work. Mr. Nelson could not go home often. He only looked in on his family when the train passed through his hometown. His wife looked after their daughter well. Mr. Nelson liked to look back on the time he spent with his daughter. He looked on her as treasure and missed her for long. He promised to tell her a story recorded in a ship log next time. As long as Mr. Nelson was gone, he felt lonely. Loneliness made him a logical thinker. He seldom spoke, which caused the others to look down on him. But he did not care. He was sad no longer because he would see his daughter before long. His longing had been awakened. He had been looking forward to the exciting moment. Mr. Nelson asked his boss for a loan of $50 to buy a gift for his daughter. He put the gift into his locker and locked it. That night, Mr. Nelson ate a loaf of bread, then lodged at the lobby of the railway station. The lodging was not comfortable, but he had a good dream.
Absolute sincerity. Mr. Parker was a lord whom everyone looked up to. He had a lumber mill. Every morning he used a lorry to carry the lumber to the railway station. In the lounge of the railway station, there were signs everywhere, warning people to look out for their luggage. But Mr. Parker did lose his that morning. The loss would cause much trouble. When he was at a loss, he was lucky to hear a nice voice from a loudspeaker announcing that his lost luggage was found. Mr. Parker went to the lost and found office. He saw a lovely woman. Her wavy hair fell in loose loops upon her shoulder. Mr. Parker fell in love with her at once. He was so nervous that he lowered his head and loosened his tie. From then on, Mr. Parker lubricated the wheels of her bike every day. He looked up the most affecting words in the dictionary to write essays. He asked the woman to look over the essays written for her. She looked through them and handed them back without comments. Mr. Parker did not give up. One day the woman told him that she was afraid because she felt a lump in her left lung. Mr. Parker spent the most difficult time with her. He was entirely loyal to her. They became lovers after she recovered. According to the lunar calendar, they would marry during the spring festival. The woman objected to luxury on their marriage, and Mr. Parker agreed with her.
Woman's common failing. A madam lived in a magnificent palace. The magnitude of the palace was unbelievable. The madam had no idea of machinery, but she was mad for makeup. Like a magnet attracted nails, makeup attracted her. In this macroscopic world, nothing else interested her. The madam majored in makeup skills. Every morning, she made out a list of fashion magazines and makeup. She ordered her maids to buy them. At first, the purchase team was made up of 2 maids. Finally, 8 maids made it up. Did makeup make for looks? Yes, makeup could make up for a lack of beauty. It was a magician who played magic. Makeup was necessary to maintain the madam's looks. Her good looks were mainly from makeup. The majority of her acquaintances thought the makeup magnified her beauty 10 times. So the madam thought she got the magnetism she wanted. But her husband did not think she was as magnetic as she hoped. Every time when he came back from the mainland, he hardly made out his wife. He shook his head and made for the study. The madam could not make it out whether it was praise or criticism.
A manly man. Yesterday, I read a novel in a manuscript. Mr. Reed majored in marine geology at college, but he worked in a firm that manufactured marble handicrafts. Manufacturing handicrafts required manual skills. Mr. Reed was a manager. He managed his department well. Lately, his boss wanted to open up new markets in the Far East. He sent Mr. Reed there. All the way, the team met a good many difficulties. First, for many a day, it rained. Thus, the team marked time. Then the motor of their truck malfunctioned. Mr. Reed made notes in the margin of a manual. His manly manner manifested itself in times of need. He manipulated the matter very well. The team marched on. Under his leadership, the team reached its goal successfully. Mr. Reed met a beautiful girl there. At first, he did not intend to marry, but the girl's virtues touched him. They got married. For Mr. Reed, marriage was for life. The country where he was staying was one that still maltreated women, but Mr. Reed respected his wife very much. As a male, he assumed all his duties he should assume.
A busy mayor. A mayor was a master of management. He was a mature man. His wife was a mathematics teacher. She was a good mate. Both of them believed in Marxism and materialism. As a matter of fact, they were a perfect match. The mayor had masses of work to do every day. These days, he was collecting materials for a book on football matches. The book would be his masterpiece. Today, he would make a speech at a theater named Mars. The theater was located in the center of a meadow. The meadow was surrounded by a massive wall. The master of the theater welcomed the guests. No matter who he was, every guest must wipe his dirty boots on the mat before entering the theater. There were masses of people in the theater. The theater held a maximum of 700 people. After the mayor's speech, the performance began. All of the actors wore masks. The mayor lit a cigar with a match. Then he enjoyed the marvelous performance.
A happy mechanic. William was a mechanic. He had obtained the membership of the mechanic club. The young man was of medium height for his age. When he was at college, he dropped medicine and took up mechanics, even though he had earned a medical medal. That year, in memory of a famous politician, the citizen set up a memorial near the Mediterranean. But its mechanism needed some mending. William was assigned to mend it. He must finish the work before National Day, by all means. The remnant time was measurable. William measured the mechanical power of the mechanism. He thought that could be done by means of electricity. Electric power traveled through the medium of wire. He found the solution. William's boss was so mean that he only paid him 3 meals a day. But William did not care. From the first day, he noticed a girl watching him. He mended the mechanism. Meanwhile, she watched him. William was by no means stupid. He knew something happened. His life had new meaning. One day, the girl gave William an ice cream. Though the sun melted it quickly, his heart was full of happiness.
A merchant and his friend. A merchant's merchandise was of high quality. Most countries adopt the metric system, and so his country did. The merchant sold electrical appliances, such as microcomputers, microphones, microprocessors, and microwave ovens. Also, he sold a kind of metal, mercury. One day, when he was using a microscope to watch the microbes, a messenger visited him. The messenger was one of his friends. This time he mentioned his son and began to complain. My son messed up the house every day. The whole family was at the mercy of his hands. The merciful merchant showed mercy to the poor father. Don't scold him. He was a mere child. He has his merits. Try a new method. Maybe he will listen to your words. The messenger had a better mental outlook. There was a merry smile on his face. He told the merchant, "The restaurant across the street has fish on the menu today. Let's try it. My treat today."
A rough but colorful life. Mr. Taylor suffered many mishaps in his life. At college, English was his major and French was his minor. He passed the minor examination but failed the major examination. After a year's military service, he went to California. Millions of people were mining for gold there. Mr. Taylor sold mineral water first. Then he ran a mine. His mine collapsed in an accident. Rebuilding the mine would cost a minimum of $1 million. To minimize the damage, Mr. Taylor sold his mill and his milky furniture. His wife comforted him, "Never mind, we can get through it." The whole family migrated to another country. That country included 35 national minorities. The new place had very mild weather. In winter, the lowest temperature was -3 degrees, and the snow on the earth was no more than 5 millimeters. Mr. Taylor put a miniature map of the world on the wall. He said to himself, "You have to succeed. Have this in mind." Mr. Taylor made up his mind to be engaged in politics. He bore his lesson in mind. He won this time. Mr. Taylor was elected Minister of Resources. He would take charge of the Resources Ministry. Only a small minority voted against him. Totally, he got 20 minus signs. Mr. Taylor defeated his mighty competitors. His wife stood in the midst of the crowd. She felt proud of him.
Snow. Mr. Turner married again, and the family lived in a house of moderate size. The moderate Mr. married by mistake because the new mistress was a witch. In fact, she was a mistress of the devil. Every night she stared at herself in the mirror and asked who was the most beautiful woman in the world. Mr. Turner had a daughter named Snow. Snow was a model daughter. She never played mischief, but the mistress still mocked at her dressing mode. She did Snow much mischief. The child suffered misfortune. She felt miserable. Finally, she left the house. His father mobilized a mission to search for the missing girl, but the witch misled them in the mist. When Snow was 15, she was as beautiful as a fashion model, and the mirror told the witch about this. She was angry. After a mock murder, she sent a hunter. The hunter pretended to misunderstand her order. He let Snow go. On a day of moderate climate, the mistress put some poison into the milk and mixed them up with a spoon. She pretended to be an old woman and tricked Snow into drinking the mixture. The girl moaned a little and went into a coma. A mobile medical team happened to pass by. Snow's life was saved by a miracle. The angry witch tried to launch a long-range missile this time. The police arrested her in time with Mr. Turner's help.
Ridiculous ruler. The ruler in this country was as monstrous as a monster. He did not know that a molecule is made up of atoms, so he forbade the others to go to school. He installed monitors everywhere to monitor the people. The monetary system became a government monopoly. The ruler was in no mood for thinking of modernization. Every time his subordinates asked to see him, he always answered, "I am watching TV for the moment. I am busy at the moment. Wait for a moment. I will come in a moment." His subordinates waited and waited, but could never see him. One day, the ruler wanted to build a monument to himself. He wasn't modest at all. A huge mold was modified to build the monument. The moist season set in, and the moisture made the builder work harder. The monument was done. The moment the ruler saw it, he cried with momentary excitement. Now he had another ridiculous request. He forced all the ministers to pay homage to the monument monthly. Nobody was interested in his monotonous show, but none of them dared to say that.
Iron People Competition. Martha wanted to enter Iron People Competition. Her motive was to make some money and a cup on a silver mount. She just mortgaged her house. Her competitors mostly were males. Each player was given 5 pounds of food at most. Everyone must make the most of it. Everyone could eat no more than a mouthful of food every meal. On the first morning, the sky was a mosaic of blue and white. The players mounted a high mountain. More or less, they felt tired. At night, they lie down on the moss to sleep. Mosquitoes and mice visited them. The next day, they needed to cross a river. It seemed that the mountainous waves would turn the ship over. A man was hurt. Martha suggested they stop to help him, but her motion was rejected. The others thought the situation became more and more urgent. Time lost would return no more. Martha had a high standard of morality. Her moral sense let her make a decision. She quit and escorted the wounded man back. She carried the man, walking on the motorway. The motorway was dirty and, moreover, it was dangerous. Their movement was slow. On the way, Martha found a car, but its motor was broken. It took her an hour to fix it. She drove the car to the hospital quickly, but the man was dead. His injuries proved mortal. Even though man is mortal, Martha mourned for the dead friend.
The New Entertainment in a Town. Our town built a cinema recently. In a few weeks, the audience has multiplied tenfold. Last week, I saw two movies. One was a musical. The other one was about an ancient Greek myth. This evening, there would be a thrilling movie. After my delicious supper, roast mutton and fried mushroom, I went to the cinema. It rained, and the rain turned dust into mud, but a multitude of people had gathered at the gate of the cinema. I could hear someone murmuring in the crowd. The film began on time. It said about a famous musician. He had multiple achievements on music. One night, the musician murmured mysteriously in the municipal museum. Why he went there was a mystery to everybody. His wife was mute on the subject. The police suggested they give mutual support to each other, but she only kept on muttering to herself. At the end of the movie, the big and muscular killer appeared again.
A naive nation. A naval officer was of English nationality. He had served in the English Navy for many years. Once he came back home, every time some naughty boys followed him. They asked him to narrate his exciting navigation. This time, he told them of a strange nation. There were two colors in their national flag, namely blue and white. The native people were nearly naked in summer. It was quite natural for them to do that. They cared not for it because they didn't have nasty minds at all. But more and more people would visit that place. There was necessity for them to wear clothes. The situation would necessitate it. To add to their beauty, women painted their nails and wore wooden necklaces around their necks. The native people had a narrow range of interests. They liked to make their houses neat and take a nap in the afternoon. What in nature made the nation attract visitors? The native people were very naive. They were hospitable by nature.